A sermon for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, the 8th of November 2020, based on Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Let us pray. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, Amen. I find it more and more an interesting question as to how you read the Bible, or how one relates to the Bible. Is it a rule book dictated from God? Is it a book that needs to be decoded? Can it be read in a plain, literal fashion? The Bible itself, as a topic, is hugely significant in its bearing on our faith. The Bible can confuse us, embarrass us, contradict itself, make outrageous statements, and even, it seems at times, be inaccurate. There are lots of wonderful things in the Bible, but we often talk about those while keeping quiet about that which confuses. Yet recognizing the tensions the Bible produces sharpens our reading and understanding. Also recognizing the sort of literature we are reading at that particular time, for the Bible has many different kinds of literary genre, even within a gospel. Recognizing the genre will change the perspective. Like the text from today's gospel, it is the genre of allegory. Note the heading, "The Parable of the Ten Bridesmaids," is not original text. An allegory is different to a parable, which uses a life situation to create an illustration. There is much to explore in an illustration, but it is fairly obvious what it is all about on the surface. The allegory constructs a story, often more complex and obviously fictional, where more of the details correspond to aspects of what is being taught. Jesus' main concern is not about how many litres of candle oil bridesmaids need, but certain words pop out which have much more significance attached to them, like wedding feast, bridegroom, night, light, wisdom, folly, sleeping, and awake. Hence, a story has been constructed to pick up on all these significant words. Jesus has used these words quite often in many of his other teachings. But also for us, a couple of millennia later, it is helpful to know a bit more about the ancient traditions. In a wedding that would last over a number of days, the bridegroom was required to arrive at the home of the bride's family, claim the bride, and take her to his own house. The bridesmaids, or more accurately, young maidens, waited at the groom's house, ready to welcome the couple and celebrate their new beginning. Waiting for the bridegroom meant being prepared, not merely passing time. There was probably no set time for the bridegroom to arrive, so the issue was not punctuality. Delays were common, but they were to have their oil lamps at the ready, for it would be night time when the bridegroom and his bride arrived. Nighttime processions were also quite common, being led by lit torches rather than oil lamps. It is likely the young maidens had torches with rags that would be doused in the oil to keep them alight. So with all that in mind, we can look at each of the significant words in turn. The wedding feast. That has been the subject of many stories and parables and is often one of controversy. People choose or choose not to come. Some come in the wrong clothes. People who were originally not invited are issued with one. Who would have thought weddings could be so stressful? Interesting, isn't it, that something we may look so forward to can yet produce so much angst? Even the most well-laid plans do not always go to plan. The bridegroom. In ancient days, he was more the centre of attention than the bride is, as it is today. The spotlight shines on him as he goes to collect his bride and as he escorts her back to his place. The action all happens with him. And at the end, five of the maidens get left behind for not keeping up. Now, five of the maidens were wise. Actually, not so much wise, but prudent. The practical type of wisdom is what is being described here. Realizing that not all goes to plan, they have extra oil on hand should they need it. Now, we may be shocked that they did not share their oil with their foolish sisters, yet this is another case of their practical wisdom. To share the oil among 10 torches would simply waste all of the oil. The rags have to be doused in the oil, not have a few drips on it. To share the oil would have served no purpose at all. And five foolish maidens, five inattentive maidens who have been caught short, five desperate maidens hoping that others will bail them out, five maidens who have to go out and search for more oil elsewhere, out there in the dark, and consequently arrive back after the door has been shut. Five maidens who are not recognized by the bridegroom. It is night. It is dark and hard to tell what time it is, and the time seems long. During this time, the maidens get drowsy and fall asleep. Then suddenly, in the midst of this darkness, there is a call to wake up and to replenish your light. The maidens each have their lamp or torch to tend. The lamp does not just look after itself. The lamp is not an end in itself. It depends upon its keeper. And sleep. Sleep is natural. No person can go without sleeping. Sleep is a part of life, as is waking up. Our bodies do not forget to wake up, but we can be lazy. We can choose to ignore the alarm clock, and there may be other reasons we choose to ignore the time to be awake. And waiting, particularly in our culture, we are not good waiters. We expect everything to happen faster. Faster computers, fast food, faster painkillers. We'd rather be asleep while having to wait, rather than to be aware of waiting. Overall, this story appears in a collection of stories and illustrations about the sign of Jesus' coming and the end of the age, a hot topic in the time of Matthew, the Gospel writer's community. Is it a hot topic for us? Maybe we are not looking for the end of the age or the end of the world, but surely we do look for God's presence in our lives. And is not faith something we take on for the long haul? We do have many times, some of them very long, in which we are waiting for a sign or a deliverance or a healing, for something to change. Something that tells us that God indeed is with us and we're okay. And there are times that our lamps burn low, flicker, and even diminish. When faith and obedience dries up, what do you do when that happens? What do you do? Faith for the long haul means it is not just for the good times, but also for the duration of the bad. To not just play peacemaker for one day, but through the long years of hostilities. To not just be merciful for one evening, which may make you feel good, but to be merciful month after month of persecution. What do you do to keep that light alight? Well, you might say, I am keeping my light alight, but what of my foolish sister? How can I help her? It is the quirk, the stumbling stone of this story, that there are some things that cannot be shared, some things that cannot be obtained second hand. It is our gift of free will, the will to choose life or to choose death. We all know we cannot make another person do or believe something unless they want to. In the first reading, Joshua could not choose for others to follow God. He also warned them of glibly declaring they had no problem. In terms of evangelism, no matter what one might do, unless the other is coming even halfway to meet them, nothing happens. Yet when the other does come halfway, the relationship just flourishes. I believe God's Spirit prompts and opens hearts, but does not override. Yet the Spirit is there and will speak when the person is prepared to start listening. Maybe there is a way we can encourage others to listen deep within themselves to the Spirit's call. But it may involve, for some, a journey out into the dark and a banging on the closed door to realize it. But is the shut door the last word? The door of the tomb, which appeared to be shut permanently with all hope gone, was then found open on the third day by the God who gives new hope. You might like to reflect on these two questions. What causes the light of your actions and attitudes of faith to flicker and diminish? And what helps you to reconnect with the light when you feel it has gone out? Let us pray. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen.